Evet. Good, this is
Welcome to Headline. This is David Lichtenstein. This week, you can listen to us on Matzah Shabbos from 11 to 12 midnight on WMCA at 5:70 a.m. and on the Nachum Segal Network, also Monday morning at 11 a.m. on Nachum Segal Network. You can find all our shows at headlinesbook.com under the audio or podcast section, and we get really tens of thousands of hits. That way people download it on the way to work, on the way home from work, and then they use it before Shabbos, and they argue, and they have what to discuss with their children. Interesting stories, interesting, you know, speakers, etc. I just want to put in a plug. Another thing you could do if you don't want to listen is you can actually buy Headlines book, which yours truly is the author of, and proud to say that the OU did a fabulous job. It's a bestseller. And I hope to have a volume 2 coming out around Hanukkah time, if me and the OU can work quickly enough. And this time we'll have in it not only the topics, but also all the different bunim on the show and what how they opine on a lot of these contemporary topics. You can always listen for those of you who do not have the internet, who are Luddites or who are respectful of the various issues of bringing into the house are, you can always call in at 732-806-8700 and listen on the phone. You can always email any questions or comments to info@headlinesbook.com.
Baltimore. He's also the head of the Star K, the Rav Masher of the Star K. He's a Talmud of Beis Medrash Gevoy and Rav Aaron Kotler, and he's a Musbach by the Baal Ligros Moshe, Rav Agoyin, Rav Moshe Feinstein. Welcome, Rabbi Heinemann.
Good evening. You already made one mistake.
What
was
that?
Say I'm a Rav Agoyin. Otherwise,
okay.
The rest of the information was correct.
That's not new. You have to look at it. What's nearer Lion? Is that the basis of the oven, the Shabbos oven?
It is something that is, yes, in a certain way, that, let me say this. The Shabbos oven, it has nothing to do with this, but there's on Yom Tov, there's an added feature, which I added into it, that you can actually change the temperature. And it works with the Groma, based on the Mishnah Berurah that Groma is Mutar on Yom Tov. And the reason why it's not considered you're doing something right away, because really you send a message to the computer, and the computer really tells whatever should happen after 10 seconds or whenever it's going to happen. So that message, since it's not possible for a person with his five senses to recognize anything that's happened, is not considered you doing anything right away. In that, but the rest of the Sabbath mode, which is used on Yom Tov, that has nothing to do with this. You don't have to use this. You don't have to change if you don't want. But you must put it into the Sabbath mode on Yom Tov, because otherwise you can't use it. So when you open the door, the light will go on. When you close it, the light will go off. There's going to be different readouts when you open up the oven or you close the oven. And there are other problems over here, which it must be in the Sabbath mode on Yom Tov in order to be able to use it. If you want to use this feature, fine. Don't want to use it, so that's also fine.
So, Rabbi Heinemann, would it be fair? What would be the halacha if somebody would want to type on their computer on Yom Tov, if their screen was off, and the typing would only be would not be seen until after Yom Tov? Would that be mutter?
It might be considered tikkun mana. It might be considered that you've made something now that can be used at a later date. But let me tell you something which I believe is very similar, and I spoke, and that is with the water meters. We have water meters in Baltimore. They put in new meters that they don't have to get someone to check the meters, but the meter sends a signal. There's a digital display, and it sends a signal to the your central system computer, and then when they want to send you a bill, it will automatically print out your bill. If there's a problem, they can bring up the numbers you've used on their computer, because it's all in the memory. And so this is a big problem for Shabbos. So we were able to get an agreement with the city that these digital water meters will not have a display. They have no display. But they said that they need a display. So we say, well, let's make a cover over the display. Why they need a display? They need a display because in case there's a problem with it, they have to be able to check out if it's working, if it's not working. So I said, make a cover over the display. The display will not show, but when you open the cover, it will show. So they said, well, when it's closed, you can't see it. Anyway, I said, that doesn't help us. If it's there, we can't use the water. But they should not show anything. When you open up, it'll show a display. So they said, they don't water half a million meters, so it doesn't really make any difference. And they had no problem to change that. Okay, but there was still a problem that they were sending a message to the computer. So I went to Chaim Kanievsky and asked him what he thinks about, if he thinks that's a problem. Because according to what I had just mentioned before, I didn't think it was a problem because you can't see anything, and you can't you feel anything, you can't smell anything, can't taste anything. So there's nothing that we can notice with our five senses. So I thought it was no problem. So I asked Chaim Kanievsky. He said, "It's a kind of problem." He said he doesn't see any problem with this.
Isn't there a different issue that is? L'chayra, the ksav that's on the meter is ksav she'enim eskayim, which would be a malacha drabanan.
Yes,
right?
It actually isn't eskayim. I don't. The only reason why it's not eskayim is because you keep on using the water. But if you would,
right, so it keeps changing. So well, but it's also
it's
electric.
It's like
do you consider ksav on a computer screen eskayim?
On the digital. On the digital water meters, it isn't Skyim.
So if Ksav on a computer is Skyim, if I shut off my computer, am I over Meichik?
I'm sorry?
If Ksav on a computer is considered Meskayim on a screen, if I change my screen, am I over Meichik? If Hashem's name is on the screen, would I be a Meichik?
If it's considered Ksiva, it will be considered Meichik. That's what I believe.
So any time I write on my computer, I can't change the page? The screen has to stay there forever?
Okay, so there's Rav Shlomo Zalman has a swara to say that the writing on a screen is not really considered writing. It's just like an image. He says, what happens if you have the name of the Baal Shem written backwards? And then you stand in front of the mirror and you'll see it forwards. So you're going to stand in front of the mirror for the rest of your life. He says, no, it's just an image. It's not a writing. It's not considered writing. Now, there was, according to that, we know, I don't think we have any problem to begin with. But it's a swara, you know, someone wants to rely on him, can rely on him. But we don't want to do that. So, but I just want to finish what happened with Rav Chaim Kanievsky. He said he doesn't see any problem with it. So I said, he said you're just sending a message. When one person talks to another person, he's also sending a message. So I said, well, this is an electronic message. This is not. He said, I don't see any problem. So. I think that's for the same reason, because there's nothing noticeable. Now, if you have, for instance, if you have so a lot of places have for security systems, let's say in a shul, and so there's cameras, and it gets recorded onto either a computer, and you can bring it back at a later date if you want, or if it is a... Or maybe on a monitor. Now, if it's on a monitor, it may be considered writing. As a matter of fact, I spoke to Yashiv Zotel Broch about this. If you had to walk in front of a camera, and he said, "Well, what happens if you would stand in front of the camera? Would the cameras, would the monitors keep your picture? Would it stay on?" I thought it would. It seemed to him that if you put the monitor off, if it automatically would go off, it's set to go off, it would not be considered exhibit deraisa. And in such a case, since you're not really intending that your image should be on it, so that he would be a mekel. I believe that was the problem with the people going to the Kessel on Shabbos.
Right.
There were cameras over there for security reasons. So he said later that they worked out a deal with the people that it should be, that it would be okay. What I think they did was, they have more than one camera over there. What they did is that the camera goes off automatically, like every 10 hours for a minute. And then, and that's why he said it was permitted. But if the monitor is on, he did have a problem with it. Unless it was EF, Shevin Yenacha.
Okay, so Rabbi Heinemann, bottom line is, you believe that it's a real grama. It would be usher on Shabbos midrabanim, unless it's b'makom seida. On Yom Tov, it could possibly be mutta, but you wouldn't allow it as halacha vein meirin kain because of the fact that a michshol would come out of it.
Yes, and I think it may be considered like dorm asur machem naik behem. Dorm utar machem naik behem isa, then you shouldn't be matterit.
Well, thank you very much, Rabbi Heinemann. It was a big honor to have you on our program.
Okay. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Let's go to our guests.
Welcome, Rav Landa. It's an honor to have you with us.
Thank you, Rav David.
So, there are security cameras all over the place. According to one source, there are over 100,000 security cameras on New York City streets. London purportedly has over 500,000 cameras. So, should we stay in our homes all Shabbos? What's the solution?
David, this is a very pertinent topic. As you said, today sensors are everywhere. They have become truly a common feature of contemporary life. Surveillance cameras are not just used in office buildings. They're becoming more and more common for homeowners concerned about security. A person walking down the street may not even be aware that he is passing a camera that will capture his image. So how do we deal with this? Is it permissible on Shabbos to pass by a surveillance camera? The answer is a little complicated, so let's look at exactly which malachas are involved. Bone and Avara are the two malachas most commonly associated with electricity. From that standpoint, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach maintains that there is no concern here, since walking in front of a camera does not complete a circuit. True, one does in fact trigger a change in voltage by passing the camera, but that per se is not considered a violation of either Bona or Avara according to Rav Shlomo Zalman. The shayla of surveillance cameras and closed-circuit TV, however, primarily touches upon the malacha of ksiva. We ordinarily think of ksiva in terms of writing of letters. After all, the Mishnah in Shabbos states, HaKosev Shteyosi Oschayev. One who writes two letters is guilty of violating the Shabbos. But the Rambam in the 11th parak of Hilchos Shabbos is quite clear. Painting is also included in the malacha of ksiva. So when one comes into the range of the cameras, he is in effect painting his image on the screen of the monitor. So the question is whether this constitutes a violation of ksiva. Some have suggested that since walking in front of a camera is a very unusual method of ksiva, this kind of painting, so to speak, should be considered as kalach yad. It's like a righty writing with his left hand. But not everyone agrees with that. The counter argument is that kalacha yad should not be defined in a vacuum, rather should be measured against the usual way of producing the intended outcome. For example, if the ordinary way of sewing is to operate a sewing machine with one's feet, then indeed such an act is included in the malacha of tefira midaraisa. In our case, the usual way to capture an image on the screen is to step in front of the camera. However, Rav Moshe Feinstein paskin that this form of ksiv is only midrabanon because the image is only temporary. Siksav she'ino miskayim. There is no durability to this ksiva. The continuity of the image depends upon the individual staying in front of the camera. Once he leaves the optical field and walks away, the image disappears. Why is this point important? What practical difference does it make if it's ksiva midrabanan or midaraisa? At the end of the day, it is still prohibited. The answer is central to many of the discussions which we will have tonight. There is a concept in halacha, as I'm sure your listeners understand and recognize, of psik ratio. When you are performing a permissible act, but there is a consequence of Chilul Shabbos. And then there is a psik ratio de lo nechale. When the consequence of Chilul Shabbos provides no benefit to the one who is performing that act. A psik ratio de lo nechale.
Fabulous. From Brooklyn, Harav Tzvi Ortner, who's the head of the Halacha and Technology Institute. He's the son-in-law of the Belzadayan of Borough Park, and his father is the chief rabbi of Lud. He's a muhsmach from a Rav HaGoyin, Rabbi Cheskel Roth. He's a mechabes Sfarim, Machsheves HaTzvi. Welcome, Rav Ortner.
Shalom Aleichem, Rav David.
So, we would like to discuss something that's we're seeing it now, but whatever we see now is a bavua de bavua of what's going to be coming in the next 10 years, and that is how technology has pervaded and invaded basically every appliance we use, ovens, refrigerators, and a lot of people just have no idea about it, how to deal with it. And being that you've created an entire institute to deal with it, we thought you would be the appropriate person to interview. Could you tell us tell us a little bit about what your institute does. Give us a little bit of Hagdama, and then let me ask you some halacha shailas.
Well, halacha and technology today is a very hot topic, but I wouldn't say just today. We're talking about many years since electricity and technology comes into our life in many ways, much more lately, but in the last century, there's all around electronics machines. And I would say it's my chedushim. You know, there's many institutions already, you know, in Israel and some here, trying to handle the situation. We believe in the opinion that we can take care of these things. There's many people, there's many Jewish customers, and we can try to fix things. Many others will say, you know, this is the situation, try to live with that. So that's basically what we're trying to do. In many fields, try to correct things, to fix it, to make it work according to the halacha.
So talk to me, to your regular Yiddish balabas. He has an oven on Shabbos, right? What are the problems that he should be aware of?
So, oven on Shabbos. Oven on Shabbos I will take into three parts. First of all, that there is the heat element. Even if you're talking about a gas oven or you're talking about an electric oven, both of them considered gechelet shel matches, which is, according to most of the mainstream poskim, a melacha d'oraisa on Shabbos. We are not doing it, directly. You're not turning on directly every time you open the door. But you're definitely causing, by thermostat, the fire to turn on and off.
Again, Rabbi Orton, we're not talking about the stovetop. We're talking about the inside of the oven.
Yes,
so when,
of course.
When you open the door, cold air enters into the cavity of the oven, and it could trigger many times for the element to go on, so it would be a grumma, a causality of a malacha daraisa, correct?
Yes, yes. So grumma for malacha daraisa, it's a very complicated sugya. I wouldn't say it's just a machleik and mechaber amor, because there's many places in Shulchan Aruch where even the mechaber is machmir about grumma. Grumma is a heavy sugya. We can say, you know, we can get into details. I don't think that's the purpose of the interview, but grumma is complicated. Sometimes it's chiyuv chatos, sometimes it's issur derabbanan, sometimes it's mutar.
The Ramah in Shin Lamed Aleph, I believe, says that a grumma on Shabbos is aser, except the makom pseida. Is that correct?
Yes. But even the mechaber in Shin Lamed Aleph is meikel about grumma, but you have the mechaber in Reish Samechei, where it's machmer about kiruv kibui, and there's many definitions about the difference between Reish Samechei and Shin Lamed Aleph. So I wouldn't say it's like a green light for Sephardic people about grumma in Shabbos. You know, Rabbi Yosef, for example, wrote a tshuva that, you know, Goma in many cases, Shabbos is also. So it's not just the Ramo in Shilam Adalat. It's more than that.
Okay.
You know, the Ramo in Shilam Adalat is also enough, I'm saying, but yeah, so again, we're talking about the Goma in Melocha Deraise. Again, you can say you're not Mechavan. It's a Goma B'Psikreishe. Goma B'Psikreishe V'Issa Deraise is also most of the mainstream poskim.
What would be problematic?
Very problematic.
But it's,
so that's
it's
basically
not,
happening when you're opening the door. It's
except
not,
that it's not a psikresha, though. It could or could not happen, right?
Not really, because every time you open the door, you're affecting it by grumma. Meaning every cold air entering into this cabinet
eventually
will cause at some point eventually, yeah, to turn the fire on earlier.
So opening the door is a psikresha of a grumma, which is very problematic.
Yes, at some times it's not going to be a grumma, it's going to be right away. But most all the time it's going to be a grumma.
Okay, continue.
So that's the old shaila about ovens. It's nothing new about it.
Which is why, by the way, Rabbi Yotan, which is why most people, I mean all people that I know of, only would open the oven if the light is on. That means the element is actually hot.
Oh, so here you go. You just say two things in one time. The light and on and the element and on, it's not always working together. It used to be like that the light and the ovens will indicate the it element. In most of the cases today, it's not like this. Most of the cases today just indicate that the machine is working, meaning the oven is working, not just the it element. There's only one brand still, I think Viking or something like that the light is actually indicating the it element to be on. So most of the cases, you'll need to look into the ovens, you know, through the glass, if you have an oven. And a woven drawer is going to be a little bit harder. But you have to look into it and see if the fire is on. It's going to be an orange color on the bottom. And then is one of the most accepted heter, because then when you open the door, you just continue the situation of the fire to burn a little bit longer.
Okay.
So that's going to be the accepted heter, yeah.
Now, Rabbi Yotna, talk about, are there any other problems with ovens that you would like to discuss?
Yes. So, when we're talking about ovens, in continuation to the fire issue, you know, they advertised lately that there is a new problem, that because of some safety reasons, many companies are putting a safety feature. Then when you open the door, immediately the fire will turn off. And the same thing will happen when you close the door, immediately the fire will turn on, which is much, much more of a direct issur d'oraisa.
Right.
So some ovens are under supervision, so the Starcade did a recall on some ovens, and LG and Samsung and Bosch, I think. But I believe that in many other ovens with no supervision, I believe the issue exists. So it's very important for people before they're buying an oven to make sure it doesn't have this feature. In case you have the feature, most of the cases it'll have a button by the door. So you must tape the button with a good seal tape to make sure it's not happening.
Now, Rabbi Yotner, what do you feel about the Starcase Shabbos ovens, Yom Tov ovens, rather, that come with all these patentin that, you know, you can turn it and there's a delay. I've honestly never seen them. But you turn it and there's a delay and the fire comes on or goes off 10 minutes later, etc. What do you feel about that?
I wouldn't say personally what I feel, but I think Gdol Yisrael 10 years ago considered both things. First of all, to have something built in as a goma, according to most of the poskim, when you are machaven to do it, it doesn't consider a goma.
So in other words, you're saying the Rush that talks about Rush and Baba Kama and Asamach, Ruach Besayasa, you're referring to. Maybe explain that to our crowd.
Okay, so if you're getting a little bit more into the sugya of goma, we have two major sugyas. In Shas about Goma. The first sugya, as you just mentioned, will come in Samach, that Zoyre v'ruach mesayato, people making Malachas Zoyre, that you're throwing the seed in the wind, and the wind is taking a part of the Malocha. So you'll be able to look at as a Goma, but there's still a Chiyuv Chatos. The Gemara said, because oil v'nisavad machshavtoi, because the results that you wanted happened, even if it's happened together with the wind, it's considered a malocha d'oraisa.
Let me add on to what Rabbi Yehuda is saying. The way it's explained by the Achrayim is that if you're using the wind as a tool, let's say you would use an axe to cut down a tree. So you cut it, and suddenly at the end the tree falls by itself. Well, that's not called the grama. You did part of the process of cutting is that eventually the tree falls by the gravity. So if it's so direct, that is not called a grama anymore. Continue.
Yes. Okay, so that's the sugi in Baba Kama. And then we have the sugi in Shabbos daf Kifkuf from the base, that we have the sugi in Lesasa called Melocha, the Gemara Darshan. Melocha is the Usar Asiyed also, only if you're doing something. Grama Shoy. And that's basically the source of the sugi in Shilam Adalot, where the Mechaba states that Goma is Mutar on Shabbos. And we all know that Goma is basically Mutar, and we have the Ramo, only Mamokam Seder, we know it's Isa the Rabbonon, but it's a kind of a steer between these two sugyas in Baba Kama and in Shabbos. So, I will say, like you just said, there's the Rosh over there and Rashi over there, there's two main Mahalchim to answer this steer. The first malach is that depends which malach you're talking about. There are certain malachas that, you know, the malach itself is with goma. Let's say you're cooking something. Malach is bishul. You're putting a pot on the fire, but you're not actually cooking. The fire is cooking. But everyone knows that it's a malach d'oraisa because that's the way the malach is created. That's the way the malach is going on for, you know, from the beginning. That's the way it's happened in the Mishkan, let's say like that. Now, many other malochas that really not coming with goma, you can do it by yourself. But you now are doing it with something else. Let's say there's meleches tchina. Most of the time you're doing it in your hand, but sometimes you can use a machine. That's the sugi in Siman Reish Nun Beis. That the Mogen Avraham debate with the other poskim what the status of meleches tchina berechaim. So that's one mahalach of the sugya. The other mahalach in the sugya says, no. It depends if you want the results or not. If you don't really need or want the results, then the goma is muto. But if you want it, and you make it because of it, then it's a malach of the raisa. That's the sugya in Baba Kama and Afsamach. That was the argument in the beginning of the time from turning on electric switch. Talking about 50 years ago, 70 years ago. It's also basically what you're doing, you're just putting together a bridge, and the electron is running from one side to the other, and then, you know, the light turn on. You'll be able to consider it as a goma, so it should be only a sort of rabbon or something like that. But there's a famous shuv of a Chamoizer in that time, in Achiezer. Chamoizer based of this sugyo, and that's, you know, the source that we just said. Rabbi Chamoizer said it's considered a Masa B'Yodayim.
Additionally, Rabbi Yehuda, you have...
So, the refrigerators is a very, very long story. Refrigerators, I would say, there's three generations about refrigerators. Refrigerators, the debate about using a refrigerator in the Shabbos starting as long as refrigerators exist, going back to 70 years ago. But I will put it, to make it short and clear, I will put it in three sections. The first argument about refrigerators was when you're opening the door and you're bringing the room temperature into the cabinet, which by thermostat, mechanical thermostat, causing the compressor to turn on or off based on the temperature. That was the first conversation about refrigerators. And at that time, most of the poskim, the opinion was you're allowed to open the refrigerators only when the compressor is on. Until Avshalom Zalman Auerbach came out with his major tshuva and Avin Mevara Leheter. I can tell you that there's still many rabbonim or people still machmir of it. For example, I just visited the Rosh Yeshiva Shmuel Kamenetsky, and he told me that he never opened a refrigerator, the old-style refrigerators, only with a shinui, with kind of a motivation. And, you know, I confirmed with his Talmud of Klima, and he says, yeah, but nobody knows about it. You know, it's his chumrah. But you can still find people are machmir of it, but I would say the most accepted, the mainstream opinion is that you are able to open refrigerators at any time.
And the reason is because it's a drabanan, and it's a grama, and it's a davar shein and a miskaven. Would those be the three reasons?
Yes, basically. I will add the suffix secretion as well.
Yeah, okay, well.
So that's basically the four tzerufim for Avshalom Zalman and the tshuva, right? But the base was that the end result is a compressor, which is nothing more than electric, which I would say, you know, the most accepted opinion is that the Issur is only Issur the Rabbanon.
Right.
Even the Shom Zaman itself, you know, still choishes to the Chazanish and other many poskim that, you know, the Issur the Raiser, but in this case, he considered the Issur the Rabbanon. So that's the first generation of refrigerators, that the result is only the Rabbanon the results, so you're allowed to open it. A few years after it, came in the issue of defrost. The defrost is something that, you know, it's a feature in the fridge, not necessarily made to make cold the refrigerator. It's actually an oven, a gesellschaft mattress, made to melt the ice around the refrigerator. And in the first generation of defrost, the defrost used to work on a timer. Every certain amount of hours, depend on every machine, it turns on for a certain amount of time. So it's still not a problem. By the way, Avshalom Zalman, in a later edition of his tshuva, put a comment in the bottom of the tshuva to make sure that his tshuva is not talking about the new refrigerators with the defrost. Even at that time, I'm assuming the defrost didn't work according to any physical action, just by timer. So what happened, because of energy savings and other reasons, the company, you know, became more efficient. So the defrost started to work based on compressor runtime. Compressor runtime means that the hours is not your clock times, the hours is the compressor runtime. So as long as the compressor works, the earlier the defrost turn on. And some refrigerators, some companies are working...
Why is the defrost, explain to the people listening, why is the defrost more problematic than the compressor?
Oh, so basically the action that we are doing is exactly the same. It's still something that we're just opening the door, we are goyrem, and a kind of psikresha, but the only difference is that the results is a deraisa. And we just said that...
And the reason,
you know,
why the results are... Because the defrost is by heating an element red hot.
Yes. So that's basically the reason why the issue became much more of an issue.
So what was the solution to that?
So let's get to the solution. Let me get to one more generation, and then we'll get to the solution. So what we have in third generation, that the computerized refrigerators, which is in the last 4 or 5 years and getting, you know, much more popular, of course, is everything getting advanced with many features. Actually, today, in every refrigerator, you have a built-in chip, which is like a computer, taking care of many things. Count your door opening. There's a door alarms. There's a very, very sensitive thermostat, digital thermostat. That you know, counting many things, counting the temperature, counting the weight on the shelves. You know, as more expensive your refrigerator will be, it's going to be much more features to that. So that is very, very problematic. Even when we'll get to the bottom of it, what exactly the issue to working with a computer, we will be struggling between Boine or Koisev or Moili Derabonon or something like that. But the issue is that we're doing it directly. The sensors are located in the door. When you're opening and closing the door, you're affecting these sensors directly.
So for this, Rabbi Heineman has a solution that on his Shabbos modes, the computers don't work, I believe.
So it's not working to a certain extent and the result is not happening, but the pulse to the computer is still working. So we can say, okay, I don't need that. It's mutter, you know.
Yeah, because, well, let's go through it. It would be mutter because it's a davar she'eino miskaven. It's also a malacha she'eino tzricha legufa that it's leinichale. It's davar she'eino miskaven, it's leinichale. You don't care whether the computer works or not.
Yeah,
and it's
but,
a drabbana.
You know,
so even though a machber like that, by the aruch that the sikreishes by davar she'eino miskaven is aser by leinichale, but by a drabbana the Mishnah Berurah in a number of places would be matarit.
Not really, because the Mogen Avraham basically in Shin Yud Dalet is stating that the condition to be matir apsikreishes based on the rabbanon need to have a kelachayat condition, and need to have a mekalkel condition, and then you can use psikreishes in leinichale. So, Kelach HaYad, you can debate if such a kind of thing called Kelach HaYad or not, because, you know, it's made for it. We can argue about it. But the Mekalkel you can find here. So basically, you need these four conditions to be Matir Reis and Rabbanon, even Bepsikasha.
You also always have B'maka Mitzvahs for Shor Mutter, and the argument would be that on Shabbos would be B'maka Mitzvah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That could be. So again, so the solution is, you know, we can take it apart. You can get the 100% solution, you can get the 80% solution, a 60% solution, I believe.
So what do you do?
So I used to have, for many years, I bought directly the refrigerators that the DeForce is working based on door counting. Which is, from one side, it's a bigger problem, because your action is much more directly. But to the other side, that's the only way where you're taping the button, you're taking care of the DeForce. Because, you know, the computer knows if you open or close the door by this door button. But later on, I got, you know, the new solution out to the market. Smart Technologies just put out a kind of a timer-like device, which I would say today in the market, that's the only 100% solution. It's technically turning off your machine. Your machine became a icebox. So by the time it's closed, you're allowed to open the fridge with no any problem with nothing.
So say that again. Your solution is to...
The solution today, I would say, today in the market, once you have such a kind of a timer, they're taking care of your refrigerators on and off during Shabbos automatically. And by the time the machine is closed, you're allowed to open the door with no any issues. You're not affecting nothing. Not the DeForce, not the compressor, not the thermostat, not the lights.
So you put a timer onto your refrigerator.
Yeah, it's a smart controller just out in the market on Pesach time, which has the Jewish calendar built in, so you know it's working by itself from Knesset Shabbos till it sees Shabbos, giving you certain breaks that you could choose before. To close or open the door, and by the time to close or open the machine. So by the time the machine is closed, you're allowed to open the door with no any consideration of nothing. So
but
that would be the best solution today. Going forward with different solutions, you know, you can use the Shabbos mode to certain refrigerators having Shabbos mode if you're, you know, trusting that thing that we just discussed about it. Then you can go, you know, down the road. You can say, you know, I don't care about the DeForce. Even if it's a deraiser, you know, it's still, Sikresha, Gromer, Vechule. So I will be worried only on the computer issue, so I'll tape the button, or I'll put a magnet in case of a sensor. If I'll find where the sensor is located, you can have four or five sensors in the refrigerators. So you can put a magnet over there. And you can say, you know, I can tell us about that also, you know. There's no black and white over here. You can always find an opinion from some robbers. You'll tell you we have enough Ethereum. The question is, are we looking for Ethereum or are we looking to be the best?
So the best, you say, is to put a timer in and only open it when it's closed. Now,
yeah.
Rabbi Ortner, if you put a timer in, then when you open it, it's not a psikresha anymore on the defrost.
Right.
Right? So you could perhaps even open it once you put a timer in, even when it's open.
Talking about the defrost, you can be right. Right. But we're talking about any other issues of the sensor and things.
Yeah. Yes, the sensor. Now, what would you say about asking a shahulis, rather, do you disagree with? Besides the patent in the oven, where you say it's actually one thing, it's not a grum anymore. Are there any other of his solutions that you're dubious of?
Yeah, you know, most of his solutions are very respected and very nice and good. For example, talking about the warming drawers and the ovens, his Shabbos mode is taking care on any direct action, meaning, you know, you have the lights and there's some sensors today. The Shabbos mode is deactivating these things. Or the 12 hours safety feature, the Shabbos one is deactivating that. But otherwise, there's no argument here, you know, between me and Weinemann. I think Weinemann is an opinion for more of a chumra of the old things. He's much more machmer on a compressor, much more machmer on the openness in these things. The only question is how we solve the issue, how we solve the problem. And let's not forget that there's an 80% market without any Shabbos mode. So we don't have an argument about the issue. We can argue to some details about how to make the solution. But the issue is a very big issue. The issue which exists, you know, in every Yiddish home, refrigerators and ovens, even without Shabbos mode, or sometimes...
The knowledge of this sugya is obviously so vast, and it's such an important sugya, that the 25 minutes we allotted to you is like just the tip of the iceberg, and we would love to have you on at a later time so that we can continue this very important topic, because Shmirah Shabbos is Shakol Kolotai Rekula Shmirah Shabbos. So thank you very much, and we would like to have you on at another time to continue this.
I'm looking forward. Thank you, Abdovin. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Have a wonderful Shabbos. Bye-bye. We have on the phone with us Jonah Attensasser, who is a mechanical engineer with 30 years of experience. He actually did engineering for the Navy in their helicopter division, and he now works as a consultant for the Star K, that's Rabbi Heinemann, and he is their expert on the engineering issues that go into keeping Shabbos, all the different, ovens, refrigerators, accessories that we use for Shmira Shabbos. Welcome, Mr. Attensasser.
Welcome. Nice to talk to you.
So, Mr. Attensasser, can you tell us, what are the potential problems in using a modern oven, either on Shabbos or Yom Tov?
Okay, there are quite a few. When I started this, the main issue was companies have gone to a 12-hour cutoff. In other words, for whatever reason, they felt for safety purposes that the oven could not be left on continuously longer than 12 hours. And that's how really the Star K got involved, because KitchenAid, a summer intern, realized that, and he eventually contacted the Star K. And then the Star K contacted me because I happen to live on the same block as the president of the Star K. So that was really how we got started. And then, of course, things have snowballed because technology has impacted everything. You have displays, digital displays, that read the temperature, and when you change the temperature, the display changes. You have icons that tell you when the door is open. You have alarms that go off, not so much in ovens, but in refrigerators. You have when you open and close the door, at times they want to protect their equipment and hopefully not burn. The consumer sticks his head close to the oven, so they turn off some of the heating elements sometimes right away. So those are the basic items that we deal with, and we try to make it usable for the kosher consumer.
So wait, so let me just, because you covered a lot of different points there. So okay. Let's say my wife put the chalent into the oven on Shabbos, and she put it at 300 degrees, whatever the number is. I'm not a chef.
Right, usually 200.
Okay, 200. Can she open the door on Shabbos if the light is on? In other words, if the heat is on, so there's no thing of trigger, you know, to have that little thing that shows the heat is on, would that be problematic?
Okay, so if it does not have a Star-K-certified mode and has an oven door switch, there's a potential that when she opens the door, she's going to immediately be shutting off a heating element when she opens the door. And when she closes the door, she's going to be, again, engaging a heating element right away without any delays.
She's saying it. And how would you know that? Like, would the oven have, like, is there any way to know? Because the oven we have at home is, I mean, it doesn't seem all that sophisticated, quite honestly. You know, I don't see any.
Are you talking about a range? In other words,
No, our listeners may not know that, but on Yom Tov, the Mechaba seemingly, the Ramah, I think it's in a Tuf Kuf Yadalad, seemingly seems to imply that Grama on Yom Tov is Mutta, that way the Mishnah Brura learns, whereas Grama on Shabbos, I think it's in Shin Lamed Dalad, the Ramah says that Grama on Shabbos is only Mutta b'makom Pseida. So Grama on Yom Tov is more kill, so you're saying, therefore Rabbi Heinemann sort of worked out a way to do it al yedei grama, which I understand is a little bit controversial.
Yes, okay.
And just shortcut, what the controversial part is that grama is often where it's not direct causality. So, for example, if you put a candle outside and there's no wind blowing, and a few minutes later a gust of wind comes, so the Rama in Tav Kuf Yudalad would say that that's called the grama. But if I do something that's absolutely certain because I'm pressing a button, but it comes with a delay of 30 seconds, there are many opinions that that is not a grumma, and that is a separate issue, that beyond that's not an engineering issue, it's more halachic issue.
Right, right. And now we do try to have that delay random, but it doesn't always work out that way for whatever reason.
Okay.
But you're right. I think the way you summarize it is correct.
So, Mr. Anser, what is the what is the potential halachic problems of a cooktop on Shabbos?
Of doing it.
Okay. Now, what are the potential issues of modern refrigerators on Shabbos and Yom Tov?
Okay. So, refrigerators have been around a long time. I think Moshe Feinstein, Alav Shalom, addressed that question. The basic refrigerator has a compressor and cycles on and off depending on the cavity temperature. Okay, so now what happens is they've become fancy. You have refrigerators that have all kinds of displays. Some of the displays go on when you open the door. Some displays are through the door. Actually, outside the door you have a display. It'll display the set temperature, but when you open the door, it'll display the actual temperature, which of course will change if you leave the door open long enough. And there's the issue of the ice maker and the water dispensers, which, you know, some different discussion as to whether you can or can't use them on Shabbos and Yom Tov.
So let's talk about the displays first. Right. What are the potential solutions for the displays?
Okay, most of the time, if you tape down the door switch, the display just stays off. Now, the ones that are Star-K certified, of course, we take care of that in the software. But if you tape it down, then the display stays off, and your alarms stay off to the extent it always thinks the door is closed. It does not engage the timer. So those are taken care of. Really, the long pole in the tent, as you know, the cliche, is the frost cycle. What happens is, in the good old days, I don't know what you have, but your parents or grandparents used to unplug the refrigerator periodically, and the ice used to drip down and make a mess, and that's how you defrosted the ice that builds up around the freezer. Modern refrigerators have automatic defrosting, and what happens is a glowing wire comes on that melts the ice that's built up around the evaporator. Because ice, to a certain extent, is an insulator, and your compressor will be working harder and harder as the ice builds up. To make it more efficient, what the companies have gone to is what's called compressor runtime. In other words, every time the compressor is on, electricity is provided to a clock that will eventually trip, let's say, after 10 hours of compressor runtime, and say, oops, I got to stop now, and I got to take care of defrosting the ice. So then a glowing wire comes on. The question is, every time you open the door on Shabbos, you're putting more heat in. And as you put more heat in, the compressor will run longer. If the compressor runs longer, it'll get to that trip time where it'll turn on a glowing wire on Shabbos, and you've contributed to that every time you open the door. So,
but it doesn't happen instantaneously. This happens at random times throughout Shabbos, right?
Well, it's cumulative. In other words, every time you open the door, cold air drops out and warm air goes in. So the more you do that and the longer you have the door open, the longer the compressor will run and the sooner the automatic defrost will engage.
But why is that more problematic than opening the door and you know ultimately the compressor is going to have to come on because into the cavity warm air is coming in. So since that is certainly at a grumma that is not instantaneously, which I believe was the reason why Ramesha was matter it, why would this be more problematic?
Okay. So again, I'm stepping into halachic areas. Electric power is the malacha d'rabbanan. Havara is the malacha d'oraisa. So the question is this gram havara? And I will tell you that the ones that we star case certify, the frost cycle goes on at a fixed time, no matter how many times you do or don't open the door.
And the reason why, just let me explain what Mr. Ansas is saying, is that the reason why it would be havara is because any time a coil gets red hot, right, the Rambam Paskins that has a din of vishal, it's vishal of the lead. So that has a din of a deraisa according to the Rambam, which is ungenomen, which is accepted by the Shulchan Aruch and Paskim today.
Right.
So whereas electricity, for the most part, absent the Chazanish, would be a drabanan.
Right.
So, right. but it would be a question of a gram havara.
Right.
Well, it's really a suffix gram havara because you never really know. It's a Safik Ram Havara. Okay.
Well, you're probably going to engage it because, it depends a little bit about the cycle time of your refrigerator. In other words, if you have normal usage, though Shabbos is probably abnormal usage, if your refrigerator runs 20 minutes out of the hour, that means after 8 hours, if 8 hours is your cutoff time, you'll... after 24 hours, which is one third, 20 minutes and a third of an hour, and after 24 hours, you will have accumulated 8 hours of compressor runtime. If that's the threshold, you may well trip the frost cycle.
So can you give us very briefly the sort of the improvements, the takanis that Rabbi Heinemann and the Starkei have put into they're certified. Give us like a snapshot of what they are and what problems they bypass, okay?
You're talking about the refrigerator or talking about the...
Both. Give us a synopsis of both refrigerator and oven, what he's done.
Well, let's start with the refrigerators. essentially what we've done is we've eliminated, in many cases, we've eliminated the ice maker and the water dispenser. Sometimes you have to manually disconnect it. We've eliminated alarms.
What does that? Wait, what does it mean you've eliminated it?
When you go into Sabbath mode, you don't have any dispensing functions anymore.
And a dispensing function would cause what problem? This is very interesting. A lot of people don't notice. They have refrigerators that dispense cold water. What's the problem?
The problem there would be either you opening an electric valve or, more likely, you're engaging a pump to pump out the cold water. And also, there's an auger motor that turns, that spits out the ice. Now, of course, you know, there's slush and there's all kinds of variation on this, but essentially the way you could test it is unplug your refrigerator and ask for dispensing, and you'll see it does not dispense. So it's an electric
okay.
provider.
And on the ice side, removing ice from your freezer on Shabbos, what's the problem there?
Okay, so the ice is a question, a little bit of a question of Nolad. Question if you're going to be using, in other words, if you keep taking ice out, eventually the bar will drop down and start making ice again. Now, the ice process is somewhat of a complicated process, and that actually includes a heating element. Now, I don't know if it goes to glowing, but what happens is it lets water in and it makes the ice, and then for it to break the seal between the ice and the tray, a heating element comes on to sort of melt the ice a little bit so that the ice maker can tip over and drop out the ice. So
Again, you could be, by taking ice, you could be a gram of, at the minimum of a gram of an issur d'rabbanan of causing the other ice, the motor,
perhaps,
to act, or possibly if it glows, which you're uncertain. So he on the Shabbos mode, neither the water or the ice work. That's in a refrigerator. I imagine
right.
The displays don't work as well. Is that correct?
The displays don't work. In most cases, the alarms don't work either. Some companies are very antsy for legal reasons because people are getting sued for everything. So, in other words, part of the problem in our modern society is once you can provide an alert, you're negligent if you don't provide that alert. So if the door is open too long and they're afraid of spoilage, they'll provide an alarm. Now, most of the time, you're not going to engage in the alarm. One or two of the brands, and we have like 27 brands, will still have an alarm, even in the Shabbos mode. But when it goes off, it will go off after 10 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever it is. It'll beep for, let's say, 5 minutes and go off by itself and just leave a display that says, I don't know what it says exactly, door jar or whatever. Most of them, we just disengage the alarm also. So those are eliminated. We also try to help this issue of the, in other words, when you open, sometimes the compressor is sort of sitting there right at the edge where a little more heat will engage the compressor, so we put a delay so when you open the door, you're never going to directly, immediately engage the compressor.
Right.
And then, of course, the defrost cycle, we change the time, not to compressor on time, but we change it to clock time, straight clock time.
So, Mr. Johnson, where does one get a list of the different names that offer a Shabbos mode that the Star K gave out?
Okay.
Mr. Ottensasser, I have at least another 20 questions, but we're out of time. We'd love to have you on again. This is really fascinating. Thank you for all the work you do on behalf of Shmira Shabbos in America.
Okay, take care.
We have on the phone with us Rabbi Eliezer Schwartz,